Welcome to episode 39 of Show Me Your Mic. My guest for this episode is Sam Capila, podcaster extraordinaire and teacher based out of Austin, Texas. So naturally, our discussion revolved around breakfast tacos. So if you haven't eaten, I'd encourage you to go take a bite, grab some eggs, throw them in tortilla, some salsa, the red, not the green, some cheese. Make sure you have lots of cheese. Anyways, you're going to get hungry while you're listening to this podcast. And enjoy the discussion about Austin, podcasting for our local community, as well as an interview show that she's a part of as well. And listen for good stuff news. Enjoy the show. You like the breakfast tacos, right?
Love the breakfast tacos.
All right, there you go. Then that tweet won't be a lie. I've never had breakfast tacos, but...
What?
See? Totally talking breakfast tacos with Sam Capila.
And of course, right when we start recording is when the cat decides to freak out and make a lot of noises.
It won't be the first cat that's been heard on Show Me Your Mic, so no worries.
Dogs, they cats. Always just want attention. I think they want their own show.
Well, as Tim was saying he was going to do a show with his cat, and then
I saw that.
Kyle Roderick said he wanted to do a show with his cat, too. So I think there's a market for that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That'll be a whole... We'll have to start a new podcast network for cats.
It could just be called Podcats.
Oh. That's bad.
I had to.
All right. Well, the voice you're hearing, in case I can't remember if I... We'll see how I start this show. is Sam Capila from, well, she's in Austin, Texas, is a teacher, and more importantly, what's more important than being a teacher, is that she's a podcaster as well, and that's why she's on this show, host of the ATX web show, and also on a little show called the Non-Breaking Space Show, which is infrequently posting these days, but is still alive and kicking. Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's been a long time coming. We keep talking about it every time we chat on Non-Breaking Space. Let's see, where to begin? I'm curious, I noticed in your bio you sort of have lived all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And what drew you to Austin? And you can go as far back as you want, but Austin's kind of become this a bit of a mecca these days for tech and nerdery stuff. Obviously, South by Southwest is going on right now, which is its own little mecca, but... What drew you to Austin?
So my sister moved here in 2001 to go to college, so I've been coming here a lot since then. Lived in Florida at the time going to college and never thought I'd end up living in Texas or in Austin at all. Just thought, oh yeah, that's where my big sister lives. Seems like a cool place. They have an outlet mall, whatever. And I think in 2008, I decided to go to grad school and applied in town because she said that through her grad program, she had taken a design class as an elective, and everything that the design professor said, she said, oh, you would totally agree with everything. You should just apply here as a backup. And then that backup ended up being the first choice. And and then I've been here ever since. I thought it would be a temporary thing. Like, oh, yeah, I'll just move there for a couple of years, get through grad school, and then it got a hold of me, and then I don't know when I'll leave, if I'll ever leave.
If you'll ever leave, right. Nice. And then your path to becoming teaching at Texas State University, what's the story there?
The story is that I never planned on being a teacher. A lot of family members have been either engineers or teachers, so I've decided I wanted to be neither of those things because I wanted to be a designer, and I thought that would be the only thing I would do. And then the grad program, again, offered the option to teach and said, you know, you can get in-state tuition, you can learn a lot outside of being in your own classroom because you learn a lot from just doing this other stuff. And of course, I'm always adding more and more to my plate. So I thought, why not? And did that while I was in grad school as a teaching assistant, which the way the program runs it is you observe somebody for the first year, and then the second year and years after that, you're teaching on your own and building your own curriculum, that sort of stuff. So I did that, thought I'd be done again with graduation when I would at that point consider leaving Texas, and neither of those things have changed. Teaching full time and staying in Texas.
So let's see, is there a third thing we can find that you're doing that you didn't think you, I guess podcasting, you probably didn't think you'd be doing?
That definitely was never on the life plan. I do talk a lot, as you know, from all of our...
Well, no, I was going to say, on Non-Breaking Space, it's tough to get a word in edgewise with Christopher Schmidt, but so, but yeah, continue.
I talk a lot, but I never really spoke in front of people, and even with teaching, didn't like the idea of people taking my advice. Like, I don't know if you should listen to me. I don't know why I'm standing in front of you right now, but I think this design decision may be a good idea, or I think this HTML thing might be cool. But, you know, form your own opinions. Maybe I'm wrong. I was just so nervous about a lot of it that I
At least, like, the confidence, at least it's like you're not teaching, say, medicine, where you're like, maybe you should take someone's heart out, or maybe you should, whatever.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do that. But I feel nervous just telling students that. But now it's been almost 6 years, and I can't shut up now. As my students would be the first to tell anyone, that I got really comfortable with that, and I think that also made me a lot more comfortable with the microphone.
Yeah, and you get to teach on, just going jumping back to your teaching, you're teaching on responsive web design, typography, and web kind of stuff, which even for me still is, I know I'm fairly a few years removed from college days, but it still feels a bit like it's a foreign idea to most higher ed, but maybe it's not. I mean, like I said, I've been away from it for a while, but it was like the furthest thing on anybody's mind, even when HTML was fairly popular when I was in school and common, and but nobody was teaching classes at the university level on it. So that's, I don't know, it's an exciting thing, I guess. And it's, like I said, I'm sure it's more common these days than it was a few years ago.
It's getting there. A lot of a lot of schools have to go through a lot of red tape to change that sort of stuff. So it's not necessarily that they're not willing to, it's just the process that they have to go through. And but it's great that I love that my parents are like, how's that responsive thing going? And they know what it means, and I never told them. Or just spent the weekend with some friends from college out in Colorado, and they were asking, oh yeah, you're teaching responsive. We're going to do that at our job. We don't know what it means yet, but can we talk to you about it? I was like, yes, of course. It's really interesting to see stuff like that really, really pick up. And it's a fun time to be a part of it. I keep telling my students, like, you have it made. Like, you have the best experience, and you're in the web during the best time, like back in my day. And then I pull up the old Space Jam website and show them how you have to do individually colored H1 tags or something like that to make the Space Jam website with its black background and repeating star GIF pattern work. But
yeah, it's hard to believe that site is actually still alive too. That's what's awesome.
Yeah, I wish more sites did that. I wish I had done that with my old stuff.
Yeah.
I wish my GeoCities was still alive with its rotating Earth next to a under construction animation.
Totally, yeah. Those were the days when it was way harder, but still, it was kind of like a fun little playground that there wasn't as much pressure. Almost to the tools were so bad you couldn't really. There was no way to make it look really good unless you're really, really good, I guess. But so what brought you into podcasting? What was your first sort of foray into talking to a microphone by yourself somewhere?
A former student of mine, Hattie Cook, who you know, I think, and a lot of listeners do, she started working at 5x5. And I think one of the weekends, I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, she was going to be out of town. So Dan said, hey, you want to do a Thanksgiving show? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm in town. And incredibly scared of the microphone. I was told that I was at least a foot or two away, and every time I was asked to move closer to the microphone, I would slowly end up backing away from
fading away.
It was not comfortable.
Yeah.
But even now, I'm still told, I still don't know, which this is horrible. I should know this stuff by now. I guess, are they called spit guards? The like little.
Oh, yeah. Or.
No, I'm sure there's a better name for them. I'm intimidated by those. Probably a little bit more than the microphone because you have to get so close to them. So that for me was a little strange.
So is there some sort of irrational hidden fear of the, why am I blanking on what that thing is called now? Somebody's going to be banging their head against the wall listening to this. Mic guard. Yeah, I don't know. Why am I? Anyway, is there something from your past? Your sister, you know, teased you with one too much?
No. Never. I was always afraid of the microphone a little bit. My sister and I would both sing it like with our school chorus in high school, but we never had that thing. So I just didn't understand what it was about. Like, why is this thing that I've never seen before the size of my head practically?
Yeah.
It's just, I didn't like it. Not a fan.
Pop filter is what it is. That's what I was trying to. But I need one for, it's funny you mention that, because when I interviewed Dan on this show a while back, he gave me heck for not having a pop filter. And in direct defiance to him, I still haven't gone and got one. But
you tell him.
Yeah. I'll show him who's a successful podcaster, pop filter or not. No, so that was your start was with sort of being thrown into the, that's a pretty big start on 5x5, which, I mean, back then maybe wasn't as big, but it was still a pretty big network. And now it's, you know, obviously huge in the world of podcasting. And so that was on one of their shows, like the.
Yeah, I was on a Thanksgiving episode of The Frequency in its first couple of weeks.
Okay.
Read the news with Dan and just we were in a building during Thanksgiving where no one was really working, and we were just like looking for anything to talk about. So we're looking out the window and we're like, oh, a person just parked, or this happened. That's our news.
That was episode, I just found it, episode 27 back.
Yep.
There we go. In the show notes.
It's called Tooth Hat.
Yeah.
Which, was something I think we invented that weekend. It was interesting.
Nice. So have you gone back to doing anything on Fiverr? I can't remember. I'm sure you've popped in.
No, I don't think I've been back since. Just been a listener. When Hattie used to be in one of my classes, she was in an independent study with me and a couple of other students where they would just kind of, you could make your own hours. You could make your own schedule of how you want to work with your students on that. And what the group decided of the three of them was, we just want to have time where we work and you're here, you can work on your own stuff. And then if we have questions, we'll ask you. So what we would do is I'd get a classroom, they'd work on their computers, I'd grade something while they were working, and then we'd just listen to 5x5 or anything design related. And I think that's kind of how the interest there started, for them listening to the show a little bit more. Some of them already were. We'd listen to different type of shows, and then we're just good listeners, I guess. It was nice to have that on while you're working on stuff. It keeps you in the right mindset.
Yeah, like a good talk radio show or something in the background, but
yeah,
related to work. Where did the connection to the ATX web show start? That's quite the crew. Looking at the about page.
Yes.
There's eight, and then two retire. Oh no, eight. Sorry, there's a bear, which is. Yes.
No, the bear is just as much of a part of the show as anybody else.
Eight and then two retired or off-duty folks, I guess, as well. So, yeah, what was the connection to the ATX web show?
Well, some of the people that are associated with the ATX web show also started the Drupal meetups in town. So I believe it was a pair of all guys, Dave and Trent and Reagan. And so that was a community that was starting to form. I was too shy to go for a while. And then I think, you know, meetup number 8 or 9 was when I first started going and met those guys, and kind of slowly became friends with everybody. And somebody mentioned, you should be on the show. And I was like, all right, cool. You know, didn't think anybody should have to hear what I have to say about anything. So didn't really think about it much. And I think the following year, wow, which has almost been a year now, it was brought up again. And then it's like, okay, let's put that on the schedule and let's have you on the show. So I ended up being interviewed on the show by my friend Travis, who is one of the eight. He's not the bear. He's the other one. He just interviewed me. We sat down at a bar that we frequent at called The Ginger Man and just did a half an hour show. And then it's like, all right, that was cool. Can't wait till it's up. And then a week or two later, the producer, Andy, said, do you want to just be on the show forever? We're like, okay.
Sweet.
So that's kind of how that happened. But right before that, I think, was when I was on Tim's show, The East Wing. And I think that maybe led to that. And I think The East Wing also led to and Dribble meetups and all of that sort of stuff. Just the Austin community being so awesome and really supportive of me being on The East Wing. That's, I guess, how I ended up on the other two shows.
Nice. So thanks to Tim.
Yep. Tim's awesome. I've never seen, I mean, now that I have done a little bit more shows, I've learned a lot about how to make people comfortable, but I think a lot of that came from how Tim talks to people. He's very respectful. He does his research. He's polite. He's kind. He's just a great guy.
Yeah. No, it's all an act though, really. Once you really get to know him. No, I'm kidding. Tim and I, and you know this, but for listeners maybe who aren't aware of what's going on, because maybe you just tune into this one show and never come back. But Tim and Adam Clark and I are actually building a new podcast site that this show and a few others are going to be moving to. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw a little plug in the middle here. And over at goodstuff.fm. And so that's, we're building that. It's hopefully going to be launching in the next, what did we say? Maybe it's Monday.
Oh, nice.
I should probably do something about that. But yeah, so that's something to check out. You can go to goodstuff.fm right now and sign up on the newsletter and follow the Twitters and all that kind of stuff to get notified if you're keen on that kind of stuff and on good stuff, as it were. And so, yeah, this show will eventually be moving there. Right now, it's if you're finding this through somewhere, you can find show notes and more information about the show at sskTN.com and look for Show Me Your Mic. But yeah, in the coming weeks, it'll transition over to goodstuff.fm/SMYM. Show Me Your Mic is where you can find it. And so I'm curious, with a local-focused podcast, and obviously mm-hmm. Austin is, you know, in a unique space, like I said, with being sort of a mecca of tech folks these days and lots of fun startup development design folks around there. Is it kind of like a neat, you know, you mentioned doing recording a show at a coffee shop and things like that. Is it recognizable within the community that, because a lot of us podcast sort of in a vacuum in a sense in our real world. Like when we go out, I go out into the world, and not that I expect people to recognize me because of what I'm doing, but even the show itself or anything like that is kind of like completely foreign and doesn't really register. But to have a show within a community like that, does it help sort of build a better, stronger community around the podcast even itself, or how does it feel?
I think so, because Austin's community is just so close in general now, and I think a lot of that, at least to me, has been because of things like Refresh Austin and the Dribble meetups. So when people are talking about the projects that they're working on, everybody jumps on board, they ask how they can help, and that's why there's so many people listed on that site, including the bear, that were just like, how can we help? What can we do? Can we come on the show? Or if you ever, you know, want to use this office space, Happy Cog has been so nice and let us use their recording studio that they have for their own show and for the Majingo video tutorials that their director of technology started. I mean, there's just a total sense of community and people just supporting what everybody else is doing, that it makes it a lot easier to continue doing those sort of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Ireland actually was on this show a while back, just before Happy Cog launched their new stuff, they're building in the process of building their studio, I think. And, I need to have him back on and talk now again about, cause at the time he was kind of hush hush about what was going on. It wasn't completely public what they're doing mm-hmm. or something. And so, yeah, good to talk gear. And
their recording studio is really nice. And, I think the most recent ATX web show, I think the Valentine's Day special was recorded at their studio, and we sound so great. I don't like hearing my voice, and I was actually like, wow, I sound wonderful. Can we use this studio all the time? I don't sound as annoying as I usually do.
That's certainly something podcasters need to get over, is that a whole idea of hearing. Do you listen to your own shows back, like, later?
I tried at first, and I just couldn't. And then now, every once in a while, when I have to go back and do show notes, I have to hear myself. So I've kind of just dealt with it.
Yeah.
But for the first couple, I couldn't. And especially when my, you know, when I sent the first couple of recordings to my mom or my dad, and they're listening to it, I'm like, Mom, don't listen to me. Like, please. She'd be like, oh, honey, you sound so cute. You're fine. And I just get even more
paranoid. Shy. Yeah. That's funny how you send it to them, but then say, don't listen to
it. It's like, you can listen to it, but not when I'm around or can hear myself.
That's the thing. I edit shows and stuff, and so I'll listen to myself that way. I'm used to hearing myself with my headphones on and nobody in the room. But I'll come home sometimes and my wife will be playing a podcast, because I do a podcast with my brother-in-law, and, you know, obviously it's sort of fun family stuff that way, but I have to make her turn it off, because I can't stand walking around the house while I'm listening to myself. It's just something I can't do. So in the ATX Web show, and then Non-Breaking Space show is another show that's speaking of where I edit, and you're now helping host with Christopher Schmidt, and which is another show, actually, that I don't even know if you know this yet, but it is going to be moving to goodstuff.fm, joining us there.
I just heard yesterday.
There you go. Breaking news. Which I know it's something I think you've been on as a host now, 4 or 5 episodes, maybe. I don't know if the exact number.
I'm not sure. I think almost a year now.
Is it? Oh, there you go. Time flies. I think
last May. Yeah.
That one's such a funny one. And maybe you can tell me your thoughts, because is the ATX Web Show, how often do you record a show for that? Hit and miss, or is it?
I think everybody was going through different things last year. There was a lot of traveling, babies were born, jobs were changing, things like that. That between last, I would say July to December, we weren't as on schedule as we should be. But we did make our New Year's resolution to record every 2 weeks, and that was only broken this week because of South by Southwest.
Right.
So we were good until this week, but we also have a couple of interviews that we can throw in there that haven't previously been released. We just need to put them out there.
Right. And that's, yeah, similar format, that's not exactly, but similar kind of idea with Non-Breaking Space, where we record episodes ahead of time and then, you know, release them as we need to, kind of idea.
Yes.
Which is an interesting idea, I guess, for some podcasters, like a lot of the other shows that I do. I find it tough to fall back into the Non-Breaking Space show groove, because it's kind of a bit scattered to me, compared to, like, I record this show and then I release it and then I'm done. I don't have to think about it again. How have you found, I guess, doing a show like Non-Breaking Space, where it's like an interview, in depth, sort of techie nerd discussion? How have you enjoyed this show? This is what I'm asking.
I've really enjoyed working on the two different types of shows, because with ATX Web Show, it's a completely different format. Even though there are interviews, it's just completely different. And I think with ATX Web Show, we're also trying to keep it up to half an hour, no longer. That's kind of been something that some of the co-hosts wanted to do. And a lot of the people that do listen, all three of them, do you want shorter, more regular shows? So we've been trying to match that. And with Non-Breaking Space, getting to interview people is really, really interesting, because you'll make your series of questions you want to ask, but one of their answers makes you want to ask something else and go down a completely different road. So you want to throw out your questions, or other times you just want to shut up and let them talk, which is usually where I fall, because I'm just so fascinated by all of it.
Right.
And then if I'm recording in the same room as Chris Schmidt, he is almost sketchnoting what's happening. So I end up watching more of what he's sketchnoting, which is about the podcast. And it does remind me to ask, oh, well, what about this thing that you just said? But I'm just as fascinated by Chris doodling on the side.
That's interesting, because I've been on that show, or recording the show, or editing, or whatever the show, since its inception, but I have no idea what Chris does on the other end. So it's good to hear hear what's going on over there. Not that he's ever distracted or whatever. Like, I wouldn't have even guessed that he's doing anything aside from paying attention, which, I mean, he is, but
he is. He's taking notes on what's being said so that when he does follow up, since usually the replies from people are longer, I think for him, it's his way to focus. And a lot of them look like infographics of how we led from one thing to the next. And he just has a lot of blank pieces of paper in front of him.
Interesting. We'll have to, that brings up something we should be doing, like taking screenshots after or photos after the fact. I guess it's not a screenshot, but photos after the fact of his notes so that are put them up as sort of like a show note visual archive of what was discussed. Something different anyways to bring to the show. We'll see. Maybe he's too humble about his artistic ability that way or something. I don't know.
I'm trying to remember if he saved his last ones or not. I think I mentioned that he should, but I can't remember what he actually did with them.
Yeah, he probably just recycles them as he leaves or whatever.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Circling back to some of your education stuff, I was curious, is podcasting something that's a commonly thought of tool in the education world these days, or is it still sort of out there in the weird world of technology?
It hasn't really made its, at least for us, it hasn't made its way yet. I think some of the mass comm or journalism programs probably utilize them a little bit better than we do, but there are students that are interested in it or have found some of their own. There's a Debbie Millman one that a lot of students really listen to, since it's traditional design, interview, discussion type stuff. Recently, I've been sending a lot more of, I've been assigning a couple of, instead of a reading assignment, you have to now listen to this podcast and reply to it. And I think when Tim interviewed Andy Clark, I think about a year ago, Andy Clark from the other side of the pond, from Stuff and Nonsense, I think there was a lot of information in that podcast that would be beneficial to students and how to protect yourselves and contracts and that sort of stuff. So things like that, I've been sending them a little bit more, but I don't think it's in their toolkit, I guess. It's not really a tool, but a part of their designing at home process, or I'm going to listen to this podcast while I code. I don't think it's reached that level for them yet.
And how about on the other side of the table, like for teachers and stuff, like is it a place where you'd put out lectures on in a podcast form and things like that, or is it kind of more not listening as necessary? Or
there are some people doing that. I think it just depends on the major. I don't think it's happening a lot in design. And I've recorded a couple of things here or there on days that we've had a couple of, I know you're going to laugh at this, but we've had a couple of snow days.
Yeah.
Days like that, I could record it, but a lot of the things that I need to teach require sharing the screen too. So I end up recording the screen and audio. But it'd be nice one day to eventually have that stuff archived. But I think with design, it's a little bit tougher since it's a visual thing.
Right. Yeah. So you're getting into screencasting or whatever, and then the file size goes up and everything gets a little more complex.
And our LMS that we have has a podcasting option, but I can never figure out how to upload stuff to it.
So. Right. Yeah. Yes. Austin snow days. Those must be rough. Yeah. Rough down there.
Oh yeah. Really rough.
I can't imagine. We're just starting to melt, and it still is 2 feet piled high of snow everywhere. But anyways, that's just how the world works. Can't be bitter at Austin because they don't get snow really.
Yeah, we just have breakfast tacos.
Right. Bring it back around to the beginning. Tell me about a breakfast taco. What's
I can't believe you've never had one. I'm shocked.
So what, I mean, yeah, what is it? Maybe I've had it in some form that I don't recognize. What's I don't know how to not recognize a breakfast taco.
It usually is a taco that has a soft tortilla.
Okay.
That could be corn or flour based on your needs. Breakfast tacos can be a little bit, they can be had at any time of the day. So it's not really just about breakfast. I think for me, what makes a true breakfast taco is that there's some sort of egg or egg substitute tofu base, and then whatever toppings you'd like.
So what's your ideal breakfast taco? If we were going to go have a breakfast taco for lunch.
I would say, so you're starting with the egg base or tofu scramble, which is a great invention, base. And then I would say avocados, salsa, red salsa, not the green stuff because I'm not ready for that yet. Maybe some bacon, and then definitely cheese. That would be my ideal. But there's many different combinations. You can get something called tofu migas, which is like a scrambled egg that has beans, onions, red peppers, green peppers all cooked into the scrambled egg. So some people get that, and that's kind of a Austin favorite is to get a migas breakfast taco, and there's places here that do it well.
Nice. That's I think we just call those wraps up here. So it's a similar idea. We have breakfast wraps, scrambled eggs, and inside a tortilla shell, something like that.
And then, but it's just a little bit different here. Taco just sounds like a little bit more of a party.
Right. I hear you. Certainly does. A wrap or a taco. Anyways, we're way off podcasting. I should probably wrap up. This is making me hungry, for one. So I apologize if you're listening somewhere and you're not able to avail yourself of a breakfast taco or a breakfast wrap. But before we do, though, one thing I ask all my guests is what are some podcasts that you listen to? And then also, what app or client do you listen to them on typically? So I don't know if you need to – do you need to stall for a minute to –
Oh no, I have my phone right next to me and I can pull up. So I have been using, I'll jump around a little bit. I have been using, on my iPhone, using the podcast app that iTunes or Apple put out, as well as Stitcher.
Oh yeah.
As my main two. And I go back and forth depending on the show, even though most of them are available on both. Design wise, some of my favorites are, or I guess web design-wise, On the Grid, Happy Monday, 99% Invisible, East Wing, shows like that. And then I also just really love listening to Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, which I think it's – is it done now?
Or is it still going? I think it has short seasons.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if it – I have a couple of episodes to catch up on. But I really do like that one because I hope one day I sound just as fancy as Alec Baldwin when he interviews people. that's my podcasting goal.
Yeah.
To grow up to sound like Alec Baldwin.
He has that, I don't know, what's the word, gravitas or just like depth to his voice. That
yes.
He could be talking about, well, like breakfast tacos, and it would be just like this inspirational, you'd be motivated. I mean, I was fairly motivated to go eat when you were talking about it, but...
But it would be even more fascinating if he was talking about breakfast.
Yeah,
talk.
Exactly.
And he's just, I just love the way he sounds and the way that he interviews people. There's also another one that I haven't listened to in a while. I think it was called I can never pronounce the actor's last name correctly. It was the Chobolesky Files. Hmm. With Stephen, butchering his last name. There's a silent T and a couple of other letters in there. I might have to just tweet it and then have you share it that way. Chobolesky Files, which was just fascinating. This actor who's been on a ton of stuff. He's one of those actors that is always in a supporting role. You never really know his real name, but you recognize him whenever you see him. And he reads a lot of different stories from his own life or other people's lives. It's just fascinating.
All right. Anything else?
I think those are the big ones. I guess I listen to Radio Lab and things like that too. A couple of things coming out of WNYC, like Here's the Thing, and yeah, that's kind of the big stuff right now. I've been really bad about things lately. I used to have all of the big web show, a couple of things from Mule, but I just have been bad about listening to stuff. Everything on my podcast app right now is showing that it stopped downloading because I stopped listening. So I've been really bad about it lately.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Mule Radio stuff is great, and the Web Ahead I love a lot. I just haven't had the time to listen to things.
Yeah, we need Merlin Mann to go on a Podcast Zero kick, teaching us how to properly listen to podcasts so that we can get to
Oh, that would be
zero or
great idea. I barely get that with my inbox, so I'd love to at least have one part of my life. maybe going through all the emails while you listen to said podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you're eating a breakfast taco, I think that's ultimately what it would come down to.
I think you just found the perfect solution.
The perfect storm of a little niche. Okay, I'm going to start selling an ebook on that pretty soon. Watch for that. All right. Well, Sam, where can folks find you and follow you and stalk you on the webs?
The best place is always Twitter. So SAMKAP. And that's just my Twitter name. Everything you need from me is on there. I talk about cats, breakfast tacos, sandwiches, being sleepy, and Austin, and web stuff.
Fair enough. That sounds exciting and make me hungry. So we'll stop the show before I just leave and go figure out how to make myself a breakfast taco here. But yeah, thanks, Sam, for coming on the show. And thank you, folks, for listening. Like I said, we're in a bit of transition, so depending on when you listen to this, you'll either be able to find this show at sskTN.com, and there'll be a redirect page of some sort or links after the fact once goodstuff.fm is launched and live and this show is moved over there. So I hope you'll follow me over there, because they'd be sad to lose you as a listener just because we changed names of of domains. Good Stuff, I think, sounds better than SSKTN. So that's part of the fun for me and getting to work with fun folks like Tim and Adam and a bunch of other folks that we're doing shows with. Actually, watch for Transmission is a new daily, near daily show that Kyle Roderick is going to be launching on goodstuff.fm. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you're having lunch with Kyle, right?
We're having lunch and
chat.
I think we're going to have some meats.
All right.
Texas meats and chat about podcasting and stuff.
How is Austin not like everybody in Austin just huge with all the food you guys talk about? Everybody
it's
I see
breakfast
looks
tacos, they help.
Yeah, everybody I see looks like they're in great shape and just, you know, healthy. But all I hear is food. So
it's anyways. A big food town.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, folks, for listening, and hope you have a great day. See you next time.